Inspire us, O God, fill us with your holy breath, and lead us into right relationship with you and each other. May we seek you in all of your breathing creation. Amen. Amen. The lectionary gave us two options today for the gospel reading. One was the one we read, and the other was the one I studied. But fortunately, I think what I'm going to say is sort of relevant to that man who was waiting for 38 years to be healed. So let's see if it all fits together. As a rain falls on the ground and matures little plants and makes the soil fertile, so the breath, the essence of all energy, falls as rain on all parts of the body. When we study the science of breath, the first thing we notice is that the breath is audible. It is a word in itself. For what we call a word is only a more pronounced utterance of breath, fashioned by the mouth and tongue. In the capacity of the mouth, breath becomes voice, and therefore the original condition of the word is breath. Therefore, if we said, first was the breath, it would be the same as saying, in the beginning was the word. And that's sort of where the other passages were leading us, was Jesus was telling his disciples that the word that I am speaking is not my word. The word comes from God. And it is this word that will give you new life. And so this is where I think it fits into the other gospel reading. Because this man, for 38 years, waiting to be the person to get dunked into the pool to be healed, in my imagination, I don't think he's really even that sick anymore. I think he's been healed. But I think he's just sort of living according to that script that he's been taught, that this is the way that you should do it. If you don't do it this way, you just won't get healed. So Jesus comes around and he says, you know, this guy's been here a long time. And he says, do you want to be well? And he says, yes, yes, I want to be well. And so Jesus says, take up your mat and walk. And so he does. Is it a miracle, or is it just that he realizes that something in him has the authority now to go against the grain, to go against what's told to him, and to live his own truth? And so goes the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through the Word. And without the Word, not one thing came into being. In the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This breath of ours is fundamental in our understanding of God. It is God who breathed life into the clay that made and fashioned humankind. This breath in Hebrew is called ruach. It is translated by the wind, spirit, or breath. This is the ruach, the creative energy, in every single gulp of air we swallow. In Genesis, the first creation myth, it said in Genesis 1:2, and the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Ruach of God moved or hovered upon the face of the waters. And you know that word that was hovering there above the water became the words that God articulated, made shape, and it created the very thing that we call creation. Everything. Everything around us is shaped by our words. And even for us, when we have an idea and we think, what are we going to do in the future? We think about it in our minds. We formulate words or images. And then we have to communicate that. And that's where we have probably a hard time as a group, is to really articulate well what the Spirit is calling us to do. I think oftentimes we get caught up in the doing of things because we're supposed to be doing, and certainly Christians are supposed to be feeding the poor, taking care of the homeless, and all of those things. But where is the Spirit calling us now, in the 21st century, as we are now aware of all these other noble truths that have been spoken in the world? You know, I read an article in the Huffington Post, and it said, The church doesn't need to convert the world. The world needs to convert the church. And I think that's a fact. We no longer need to go around proclaiming the message of the good news as the way that we've learned it. There's still good news to be proclaimed. Lots of good news. But we don't have to do it in such a way that tradition has dictated. I think just simply being what Christ has called us to be in the world, recognizing our own truth, is going to be sufficient for God to move us where God wants us to be. I think too often we get stuck in the way that things are. It is interesting to me that one of the definitions of the word inspiration means to breathe in, to inspire. In prayer, sitting prayer, or meditation, we notice the enormous gift of the breath and the healing power contained within. It is in only prayer that we can discern truthfully the call of the Holy Spirit on our lives, individually and collectively. But how hospitable are we to our breathing in, our breathing out? It is as if the breath is on its own journey. It enters our body, exchanges oxygen for carbon dioxide, and leaves through our throat. But in that time, our mind and our senses and everything about us is formulating something that wants to be spoken or communicated in another way, through music or through dance or other kinds of ways of communicating. And so from this, all things are possible, construction and destruction. We can either build people up or we can tear people down. We can either make this world a better, habitable place for us to live in, or we can just ignore it and let it just go away. The breath that comes out can be shaped as a beautiful song of words of encouragement, love, and support. Compassion can be spoken not just with words, but also and probably especially by our bodies. When we touch, when we embrace, when we share the peace, we are affirming the truth of our unity. In this unity, we share all things. We share collectively the victories and sufferings we bear. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark have Jesus remind the crowd, but although I'm sure he was saying it loud enough for the Pharisees to hear, that it is not what goes in the mouth that defiles, but it is what comes out of the mouth. Because what comes out of the mouth comes from our heart. And it is there in the heart where God is there for us to listen to if we dare to listen. So tell me, what is the condition of our heart? It is sort of rhetorical, but if you have an answer, you can tell me. Well, on May 18th, we go into a retreat to continue on this road of transformation in which we believe that God is doing in us. Christ bids us to have no fear, and fear is a great obstacle. But so is acting without listening. Acting without listening is a kind of fear, isn't it? Part of acting out of fear, I believe, is holding on too tightly the tradition of the ways that seem to have always worked. This is important because a lot of what we do as a community is meant to provide a framework in which we can move deeper into relationship with that holy mystery. So it's not for nothing that we have this Lord's Prayer in a particular way that we say over and over again. We can change it. But there's something about the sameness that anchors us in a place so we can move beyond that and go deeper. And so there is some importance to our structure and how we are formulated. But there are many expressions of liturgy. There are numerous ways to utilize the Book of Common Prayer and other sources besides the Bible in which we draw inspiration and direction. To live without fear, as Christ demands, means that we can still be in relationship with Christ as we explore beyond the confines of what we are used to. Just like the man at the pool waiting to be dunked. He had to move beyond the confines of what he knew. One of the things the gospel agrees on, I don't know if you know this, but every book of the gospels are different. They all have their own agenda, and they often say very different things. So there's very little sometimes that they all agree on, and this is one of them. In every single gospel, except for John, but John's in a different way, Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. In John's gospel, after some of those following Jesus left him, he said, this is going to be a hard work, so if you don't want to go for it, then just leave, and a lot of them did. And the 12 disciples that stayed behind, Jesus asked, why? Why are you staying here? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so, like Lydia, on the river, in the story of Acts, who, with her women friends, gone to the river day after day to cultivate his heart of prayer, waiting for that good word that they're hoping to receive, receives the words of Paul, and by so she received with her open heart a new direction for her life, a new inspiration. But not just Lydia, right? Because in the vision, Paul thought he was going to go to Macedonia to save the entire nation. But instead, he was sent to one person. And from that one person, perhaps, a whole community was received. And I guess I'm just really saying that sometimes our ambitions are so large, we think we really want to just change the world. But in that effort, when we touch one person, we change one person's life, there's sort of like an exponential magnifying thing that happens, right? They're able to go out and share that same inspiration that you shared with them. And so it is hard to love each other. It really is. And I think that's why God says, you have to trust me, that you will not get along in everything. But if you really have your sight set on where God is calling us to go, and that's your intention, then speak out. Listen to those inspirations, those words that God is inspiring you. And don't hold them to yourself. Inspire to conspire. Does that make sense? That when you feel the inspiration, you want to share that with each other. But we have to. I think all the different ministries that we do, Baking Mission, the Gel Ministry, all these things that we do, feeding the homeless, are not just individual ministries. It's not just Bruce that goes to the jail and does the ministry. It's all of us. It's not just Susan who goes to Baby Mission and helps out. It's all of us. We're all in these ministries together, and we have to take ownership of that. So I'm asking you, what is it that God is calling you to do? And, you know, it's the norm. It may not be what we are used to, but that's okay. Let us know. Speak it out. Because God is changing in this world, and he may be changing through you, and not through us who are sort of steeped in tradition, and who likes the Nicene Creed, and things like that. So I'm asking you to really participate. Come with us to the retreat on May 18th, and let your voices be heard, because God is moving in this world, and God is moving through you. Amen.